your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why, like you, he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Donna Adelson case in which we're diving back into this evening. It turns out we have a verdict that has come in the same day. Closing arguments have wrapped up. And do we know what are we on? We're in three. I think I won the bet, Todd. Did I not?
You did. You actually did win the bet. So
yes. Between 3 to 5 hours. Called that one. I've not been good on this at all year. I've been calling it wrong left and right. I think this is the only one I've been accurate on, but there we go. I won the free 2-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express.
Enjoy that with some tater tot casserole.
Excited about that. Let's go to the courtroom and watch it as it happens. As Donna Adelson, the verdict is read.
If the jury foreperson could please rise. Has the jury reached a unanimous verdict?
Yeah.
If you please can hand the verdict form to the bailiff.
Donna looking very tense.
Yeah, I think she knows what might be in store for her here.
Yeah.
Having reviewed the verdict form, it is in its proper order. Mm-hmm. At this time, I will publish the verdict.
We're about to see.
We, the jury, find as follows as to count one of the indictment, first degree murder. The defendant is guilty of first degree murder. Mrs. Adelson, control yourself. Count two. We, the jury, find as follows as to count two of the indictment. Conspiracy to commit first-degree murder.
Guilty.
The defendant is guilty of conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. Count
narcissistic
three.
Narcissistic collapse, kids.
Yep.
We, the jury, find as follows as the count three of the indictment. Solicitation to commit first-degree murder. The defendant is guilty of solicitation to commit first-degree murder. And it is signed and dated by the foreperson. One moment. Members of the jury, the bailiff will escort you to the jury room.
Donna, weeping uncontrollably in court right now, if you're listening to this.
I mean, I don't blame her.
Mrs. Adelson, while this was not the outcome I'm sure that you desired, there will not be any further outbursts in front of the jury. If you cannot control yourself, I am going to have to determine if you'll be removed from the remainder of this process. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you need a moment to collect yourself? Before the jurors are brought back in, we will take a brief 2-minute break. Please give her tissues if she needs them. When the jurors are brought back into the room, does the defense wish to have the jurors polled before they are discharged?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well.
She clearly did not see this coming, as no narcissist would.
Yeah, he's a narcissist.
Thank you, Todd. I mean, how did she not see this racking up against her?
Because this is how she works. This is how they all work. They think it's impossible. They do not see reality on reality's terms.
But she also doesn't have real tears streaming down her face. And I'm not trying to judge her, but I'm just wondering how much of this is an act.
Please bring back in the jurors so we can conclude their portion of the trial.
I mean, somebody said something really nice to me today and I teared up. I had an actual tear like run down my face. She's going to jail for the rest of her life and she can't conjure up one tear. I mean, okay.
She's mad she got caught. She's mad that she was called out. She's mad that everybody knows who she is. The mask is off and the world sees Donna Adelson for who Donna Adelson actually is. All the years of her torturing people through her manipulation and narcissistic ways have finally come to a head. And she's going to be locked up for the rest of her life. There's a lot of people right now, I'm sure, have had interactions with this bitch throughout life who are going, fuck yeah. She had it coming. She had nothing to do with the murder.
I discharge you for this evening.
Harvey looks the same.
I'm briefly going to poll you to concerning whether your verdict is unanimous at the request of one of the parties.
They're coming,
when you
Harvey.
Hear your last name, please appropriately respond.
I feel a little anxious myself. Jeez.
We just had a message come through. Harvey will be married by next
year. Probably to the woman in the Snuggie.
I was just going to say maybe to a guy named Bubba, because I don't know if he's going to be completely off the out of the woods.
We have the best viewers and listeners. I'm just going to say that. Some of the humor I've seen come through, and I realize this is, you know, somebody lost their life, and I it's serious, but these are some really smart people in our chat room.
This is karma.
And that's why people are making jokes, because we all know people like this.
Yeah.
And we want to see karma come and swing its freaking bat.
Oh, I don't think it's a bat.
I always say that, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Tony, you and I have watched karma swing its bat. So
do we have audio here? Is it?
I believe because they're talking to the jurors individually.
Okay.
Before you're discharged, please listen carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to thank you for your time and consideration of this case. I also wish to advise you of some very special privileges that are enjoyed by jurors. No juror can ever be required to talk about the discussions that occurred in the jury room except by court order. For many centuries, our society has relied upon juries for consideration of difficult cases. We have recognized for hundreds of years that a jury's deliberations, discussions, and votes should remain their private affair as long as they wish it. Therefore, the law gives you a unique privilege not to speak about the jury's work. Although you are at liberty to speak with anyone about your deliberations, you are also at liberty to refuse to speak to anyone. A request to discuss either your verdict or your deliberations may come from those who are simply curious, from those who might seek to find fault with you, from the media, from attorneys, or elsewhere. It will be up to you to decide whether to preserve your privacy as a juror. With that being said, I want to extend my thanks on behalf of the entire Second Circuit for your service in this matter. You are discharged. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Donna. I'm hoping they keep the camera shot there long enough to see her cuffed and taken out.
Oh, they're gonna.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I don't know.
Orange is the new Adelson.
As to the jury's verdict, with the jury having found the defendant guilty of the three charges of the indictment, is the defense asking for a pre-sentence report on counts 2 and 3? As to count 1, the penalty is statutory, and essentially there is no modification for it.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, pre-sentence investigation and report is ordered by the court as to counts 2 and 3. As to count 1, is there any reason why we cannot proceed to sentencing on this matter?
Your Honor, we would request an opportunity to ensure that our client is okay before we proceed to sentencing. It's my understanding that Charlie Adelson wasn't sentenced right away. We're asking for the same courtesy.
Very well. The court then will set a separate sentencing date.
Ah.
Go ahead.
It means death, Donna. It means you're never getting out. It doesn't matter what they say, what number they give you, you will die in prison.
What does it mean that I sit here looking at her and I'm actually feeling bad for the woman just because I have so much empathy, but I know she's nasty.
Yeah, I have none.
Well, because, I mean, I get that. I feel bad for her too. To a point.
I don't.
I know you don't.
I don't at all.
We're going to find out who this woman is finally. I've been wondering.
Oh, that's Dan Markell's mother. I found that out earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What is it with the moms and the glasses in the courtroom?
I think we're about to get a victim impact statement.
Oh. Ooh.
Oh, this is big. Well, she might be hiding her eyes because she's just been crying.
Oh, something. Yeah. She's going to address Donna head on now.
Oh.
You please like, can identify yourself for the record.
Yes, my name is Ruth Mark. Sorry?
I'm worried you're going to trip.
Okay. I already did. My name is Ruth Markell.
You may give your impact statement, ma'am.
Thank you, Judge Everett. To the Honorable Judge Everett, my name is Ruth Markell. I am the mother of the late Dan Markell. I stand before you today to express the profound sadness and grief that Dan's family and I have endured since his tragic murder. We have lost a treasure. My son's Dan's life was cut tragically short at 41 years old. For 11 years, we have been forced to a life filled with unimaginable pain and heartbreak. Dan's father, Phil, and his sister, Shelley, share in this unending sorrow. Dan was a devoted father, brother, and son. Dan's life was marked by his devotion to family, education, and community. He was a loving, caring, and inspiring person. His academic journey included studying politics and philosophy at Harvard University, earning a master's degree later in political theory from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and Emmanuel College in Cambridge, and later going back to Harvard to get a law degree. Dan was a prolific scholar, and did start, co-founded the influential Prof's blog. His energy, drive, and sociability greatly enriched the FSU College of Law. Dan's life was filled with passion, music, dance, sports, travel, and people. But of all my son's accomplishments, however, I am most proud of the devoted father Danny was to his two sons, Benjamin and Lincoln. Dan was present, loving, and supportive, always putting his children's well-being first. He regularly attended the boys' daycares, reading with them. His office was filled with their drawings, and his home, his living room, filled with their toys. Dan was the boys' hero, and they have been forced to grow up without a father. Dan's murder has shattered our family and caused deep permanent pain. This was a particularly senseless crime, and the murder was particularly insensible. It was not revenge. Dan was a law-abiding and respectful citizen, an active father, and a living son. His life was devoted to teaching and helping others. The pain and suffering of Dan's murder goes well beyond other families too. That is why I wrote the book, The Unveiling, A Mother's Reflection on Murder, Grief, and Trial Life. In my unrelenting grief, I turned to advocacy to fill purpose and to help others with these tragic losses. I have found meaning and comfort to connect with others who want to serve justice. To all the community of journalists, TV programs, podcasters, Tallahassee communities, and the allies who have put their hearts in keeping Danny's story alive, we are full of thanks. To law enforcement and prosecutors, our gratitude is beyond for their dedicated, careful perseverance in seeking justice for Danny and our family. If Tallahassee is known for football, Tallahassee should be known for the prosecution and for law enforcement. They have done an outstanding job. These extraordinary efforts underscore the brutal truth of our family's story. Danny's murder was orchestrated by his former mother-in-law, Don Adelson, and other co-conspirators, and is a crime of cruelty. It is a murder of grief, a murder of selfishly prioritizing one's own desires over what is just or right. And at its core, this was a murder of convenience. So that one grandmother could live closer to her grandchildren, she killed their father and ripped the children from the other grandparents' lives. Donna Adelson's crimes against Dan began long before his murder. She belittled Dan in front of his children. She spread lies about him and contributed to a brutal separation between Dan and Wendy. She rented the house, and Dan came home, and he found that Wendy and the boys were gone with most of their belongings. He called this devastation Pearl Harbor. Donna's eagerness for Wendy to divorce Dan and to relocate to South Florida led her to increasingly devise desperate schemes. Despite these efforts, the court ruled that Wendy could not move the boys away from their loving father. Failing to achieve her goal through legal means, Donna finally resorted to orchestrating Dan's murder. She plotted, planned, and paid for his murder. Donna's crimes led to further devastation. Her middle son, Charlie, was convicted and sentenced to a life in prison for his role in facilitating Danny's murder for hire. Can you imagine a mother involving a son to complete a murder? Dana's eldest son, Rob, an honest and decent man, is estranged from the family. And her younger child, Wendy, has decided once again to relocate to another state. Her actions and those of her co-conspirators have caused children to lose their parents. Catherine McBanowitz, Zagfreda Garcia, and Charlie Adelson, also convicted, are all convicted for life, and have lost access to their children. Prior to her arrest, Donna's recorded phone calls with Charlie reveal their lack of a moral compass or capacity for self-reflection. She blames external forces for her family's curse. They're outside of her, but she is the curse, and lashes out angrily at witnesses who look and took the brave step to testify. Her modus operandi has always been to run from Tallahassee and then to try to flee to Vietnam. For our family, there is no such prospect for escape. Danny's absence, and that leaves a hole at the center of our lives, no matter where we go. Yet Dan's murder was not enough for Donna. His death was not enough. Danny had to be fully erased from his beloved sons. The boy's last name was ever changed, an extraordinary decision to excise the Markell name from Phil's only grandsons who shared his name, his last name. And after the first arrests were made, Donna didn't allow the Markell family to have access for over 6 years. It was only when there was a phenomenal Tallahassee advocacy group that passed the Markell Act. The passage of this bill was immediately followed by our first invitation to have the boys, to see the boys after the arrest. The door only cracked open. Despite this, these efforts, we remain excluded from the boys' lives. We were not at their bar mitzvahs or graduations. We have extremely highly choreographed visits and communications. We only wait for the day that Benjamin and Lincoln will visit their father and his grave in his father's history and his grave in Toronto. We want nothing more. The facts of Danny's murder, are difficult to swallow. The experiences Phil, Shelley, and I have been forced to suffer are profound as homicide survivors and victims of the criminal system. The lives of Danny's two sons, our grandchildren, were forever turned upside down by this crime. Benjamin and Lincoln were only preschoolers when their father was murdered, and now they are forced to confront and try to understand the unthinkable crimes of murder and the Adelsons' involvement. Our lives will never return to normal. For those who love Danny and for those who Danny loved, there is no escape from the wicked effects of what Don Adelson set in motion, carried out, and paid for, and for many years enjoyed the aftermath of. Donna Adelson has caused immense devastation and an untimely, undeserved murder through her actions. While no trial or verdict can ever heal the profound wounds caused by Dan's murder, justice must be served. I respectfully ask the court to impose the maximum sentence on Donna Adelson. Her lack of cooperation and remorse throughout the case demands justice, the justice that Dan's life and memory fully deserve. We are immensely grateful to the court for its careful and compassionate deliberation. Respectfully, Ruth Markell.
Thank you, Ms. Markell. Are there any other victim impact statements this evening?
One more.
This is Dan's dad that's now.
Please can tell us your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Phil Markell. I'm Danny's father. Judge Everett, I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the impact of Donna Adelson's actions on my families and the families of so many others. While this victim impact statement is addressed to you, Your Honor, It is also intended for the Adelson family, Harvey, Charlie, Wendy, and particularly Donna. I would like them to understand and reflect on the deep and irreparable damage they have caused. The pain that they have caused my family is obvious and permanent. But they have also caused lifelong harm to their own immediate family and so many other families and children around. Donna's selfishness, cruelty, and complete disrespect for human life, along with that of her co-conspirators, have left families forever broken. Louis Rivera, his children have no father. Catherine Magbanua and Sigfredo Garcia, their children have no parents. Charlie Adelson, his son, Roman, has no father. Rob Adelson and his wife and their two children have lost their uncle and grandparents. Shelley and Ian, my daughter, their three children, my grandchildren, are left without an uncle and are separated from their cousins. Of course, their heinous and callous actions have left me, Ruth, and Shelley without our Danny, and Ben and Lincoln without their father. For anyone to commit such a cold-blooded, unprovoked act of murder is horrific. For Donna, someone who claims to care so much about Ben and Lincoln, her sun shines. Her actions are beyond comprehension. She has harmed forever the people she claims to have loved. In the Jewish custom, we have an expression to always wish others to live to 120 years of age. For Donna, I wish her to live to 120, yeah, alone in her jail cell. I wish that every day of her remaining days, she thinks about the harm she has caused to so many, especially those two boys she claims to have loved so much. For these reasons, Your Honor, I ask the court sentence Donna Adelson to the maximum possible sentence. And my only short question to Donna, was it worth it? Respectfully, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Markell. Are there any other matters that the court needs to address this evening, Ms. Koppelman? No, Your Honor. With the PSI being ordered, the court will pronounce the sentence as to counts 2 and 3 after it's been completed. The parties have had an opportunity to review the pre-sentence investigation report and make any objections if they believe they need to. As to the 3 counts that the jury has found the defendant guilty of, I will adjudicate her guilty at this time, but sentence will be pronounced as to the 3 counts at a later date. She is remanded for sentencing at this time. Lieutenant Henry, please notify the commander at the jail that the appropriate screening needs to take place to ensure that the defendant is in an area where she is not subject to any self-harm. For a case management date coming up, what would the parties request?
The student's October court date, Your Honor.
Leave that is 10/14. Is that correct, Ms. Dugan?
Yes, sir.
October 14th for case management at 2:30 p.m. That will be in the normal courtroom 3B. Patricia, if you can make sure that the notice goes to DOC so they are aware that the PSI needs to be completed as soon as possible.
I'm sorry, sir.
Thank you. We are in recess at this time. We will reconvene on October 14th. Have a good evening, everyone.
Everyone except for Donna.
And Donna is being cuffed right now by two women, two sheriff's deputies. They are literally hauling her out of the room, arm in arm. It appears she is cuffed. They are leading her out through the side door. Donna, visibly shaken by all this, literally physically shaking, as she is let out and the door is closed on Donna. And the chapter of her life prior to this comes to an end. Lots to discuss of what we just witnessed there. I want to start with the kids, and this is a big thing. And as we're witnessing more and more people leaving the courtroom, are we seeing Georgia Kappelman leave right now? We're seeing her assistant attorney leave. I've not seen Harvey, but he may have. I don't know. He may have already gotten out. Looks like the Dayton's drama squad of 1987.
They've left.
Apparel has already, I think they already left. They went to go hit the early bird specials. I think they're probably kind of shocked that this is done at this point. Yeah, all tears for herself. I think that's accurate by some of the comments that we're seeing right here. But let's talk about the kids for a second, because this is another really shocking part. This is why I have zero pity for Donna Adelson. It's not because I don't have empathy. I have a lot of empathy. I have too much empathy for people sometimes. But when you're really shitty and you're evil, you're fucking evil. And yeah. Donna Adelson checks all of those boxes. That family literally held those kids, Dan Markell's children, away from Dan Markell's parents for all of these years after the murder. It took literal legislative involvement for them to get the right to see their own grandchildren after their son was butchered by this family. This family, the Adelsons, held control of the Markell children after they changed their name for years. This happened 11 years ago. Those grandparents, you know how many times they've seen their grandkids in the last 11 years? Three.
It's insane.
So they kill their father, and then they still hold on to control of these kids. Now, you would think if the father is murdered, and they have a good relationship with dad, dad's been there. Dad's not been some deadbeat, horrible dad where you're like, well, oh, well. This family, these grandparents, they're all part of these kids' lives. But the Adelsons take it upon themselves as their enmeshed family from hell and decide, you know what? They don't have dad anymore. Shouldn't we let them see grandparents maybe a little bit more? Let them at least feel that side of their family? No! No, they don't at all. They hold them back from seeing the grandparents because they killed their father. This is insane. I mean, it literally is insane. The evil of the Adelsons, which was actually the original title of this podcast when we launched it a couple years ago. It was called The Evil of the Adelsons. And it truly has all come to fruition. Stacey, what's your thoughts?
I'm with Todd. I mean, watching her tremble, literally tremble. It was hard to watch. It was hard to stomach. But hearing the victim impact statements, evil walks amongst us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be disguised as a matronly woman, you know, in a sweater with her hair in a little bun. You know, she looks like someone who would do, you know, chocolate chip cookies with you on the weekend and cook you a nice borscht, you know, or whatever.
Borscht.
But in the background, she's plotting somebody's demise.
Yeah.
And it, again, every time we have one of these cases, I just sit here and go, you know, have I stood next to somebody at Quick Trip filling up with gas and they're plotting somebody's death while we're pumping gas, looking at each other going, oh yeah, that's a great song on the little, whatever that is. I'm surprised that there's people out here like this because they're disguised in sheep's clothing. She looks like somebody that you talk to at the grocery store.
And she is. And here's the deal. Take death out of the equation. Do you talk with these people every single day? Yeah, you do. But they don't all go all the way to death, but they do all the other stuff. I mean, if you took death out of the equation and you took the control of taking the kids away from the family, when there's no reason to. These were not bad people. There was not, I mean, there's plenty of reasons to do that in certain situations. Trust me, I get it.
Yeah.
This is not one of them. And the way that they were held back, I mean, just all of these little evil controlling things. And like Georgia said, it's death by a thousand cuts.
So what?
And Donna's Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, right. So what makes these people cross that line? That, you know, we know all kinds of shitty people out there that do things. That there's a line in the sand here. What makes them step over it? That, you know what? I'm going to fucking kill that guy.
I don't think anybody ever was able to or ever really even tried to stop Donna from being who she was. And so she just, you know, as time went on, she got stronger and more bold.
Yep.
And I want to clarify, like, watching her lose her shit in the courtroom, obviously she wasn't crying, but she was very distressed, right? I don't like to see people in distress.
Yeah, exactly.
But hearing Phil Markel, I thought his impact statement was incredible.
Yeah.
And the way he tied in how all these other family members, all the people involved with this murder, the children have no parents, have no father, have no uncle, you know? I mean, come on, Donna. Like,
and none of it's,
it's time for the reckoning. You know, what are things going to be like on the 14th of October for her?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and that I thought was very powerful. Stacey, I'm going to say this, check your mic input really quick to make sure you're on your main mic. I want to say this, I mean, about Dan, and she made a good point too, both mom and dad of Dan did, mother and father, of look at the amount of lives that were destroyed because of Donna Adelson's narcissistic control. I mean, just look at it. All these people that got involved that unhealthily decided, I'm going to go along with this. I mean, it starts with Charlie. We'll see what happens with Wendy. Then you have Catherine McBona getting involved. Then you have Siegfried. And look, these people made a choice. I'm not saying they're saints by any means, but they made a choice to get involved because this woman put this request out there. Now, I don't have a ton of sympathy for Catherine McBona or any of that. I do it for their children. The fact that these people were born into families of monsters like this. And quite honestly, when I hear that these people are going to be away for the rest of their lives, that's probably the best possible outcome for these kids.
Right.
Because they're never going to have to be brought up by monsters that are capable of going and killing people for hire or running money to your ex-boyfriend or your whatever to do a hit. I mean, that's great that these kids don't have to have you as parents. That's wonderful. Thank God there needs to be more of you put away and more of you need to off yourselves that are doing shit like this. But the other part, Danny, the kids, I mean, the confusion that is going to be there. Grandma's gone now. Wendy's still there. What's going to happen next? Because Wendy, she's on the chopping block.
Yeah.
These kids are teenagers. They're in high school right now. All that's left is the uncle in New York and Harvey.
Yep.
In terms of immediate family.
Yep.
These kids are screwed. I mean, I really, really hope that they can rise above this and get somewhere. But all of this goes back to Donna's selfishness. It goes back to her need for, I want this and I want that. And I'm going to manipulate these people to do my bidding this way and that way. And it starts early and it starts small and it starts like, well, it's not a big deal. And she's kind of manipulative. And to the point of this, exactly what you said, Todd, it starts small and they keep pushing. They add a little bit more to that. I can get this far. And eventually at 70 some years old, Donna Adelson has pushed the bar so far that she finds herself ending up in a murder conspiracy over the ex-husband of her daughter that she didn't like because he was a Jew.
Well, you know, and to what Dan Markel's dad said, was it worth it?
Was it
worth it?
What do you make of Harvey's? Harvey didn't change. He didn't change expressions.
He did, because he was looking down before he was looking up, kind of sitting up straight with the frown on his face.
Okay.
But when the verdict came down, he was looking down at the floor. And I got the feeling like maybe he's thinking, whoa, shit.
Yeah. Maybe I should have gotten that extradited flight. I never showed up to the shit show. I also noticed, excuse me, that the judge, and they don't always do this at a closing of a trial. He specifically basically said, without saying it directly, suicide watch.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So she doesn't harm. That was I wrote it down before he even said it. I'm like, she's got to be on suicide watch right now, because she's already said to Wendy in those text messages earlier, you should bury me in this. Oh, poor me. Bury me in this. And let me ask you guys this question.
Okay.
We all have had narcissists in our lives to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have one who talked about what they want to be buried in when they die?
Yes. Yes. My dad, my grandmother.
Yep. Me too.
On phone calls, like
regular basis of talking about what they want to be buried in.
Yep. And especially when you disappoint them.
Yep.
It comes up like, okay, dad, I'm not going to come out for some of summer vacation because I have practice for this sport that I'm in. Well, you know what? The next time you see me, I'll probably be in a casket.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. What kind of flowers would you like? I finally got to that point where I was like, let me know what kind of a spray you want on top of your casket.
So you have to do, because they're seeking that. Oh no, don't say that. Don't do that. That's right. Insane. It's like, okay, cool. You know what? I thought Hobby Lobby has a great deal on, funeral flowers this week, 40% off. So you better decide pretty quick, because that sale ends Saturday night at 10.
Yeah, and I've got the coupon for it. So, let me know. Hurry up,
or you ain't getting the flowers. Or it's going to have to be like Joanne Fabric closeout shit.
On that coupon on the back, if you look, you can get Jackie to do your trial, because I'm sorry. And I just... She was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
She brought nothing to the table. Her closing arguments today, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but you know, it's not that she didn't have a few points, but it was nothing that was going to change the mind of all the other stuff that was put out there.
Mm-hmm. It is. There was nothing to, I mean, it was just, like I said earlier, I felt like it was just a reiteration. She took notes of Donna bitching.
Yep.
About all of her grievances, and literally was Donna's voice. It was like if it was, you were a teenager and you're at Hardee's and one of the kid is picking on you on the other booth, and your best friend stands up and says, oh yeah, well, you're this, and well, you can't do this or that. Like, you're 70 some years old here. You're not a 14-year-old getting a, you know, chicken nugget meal. What the fuck are you doing here? And by the way, why did you go to Men's Warehouse to get your shoes? What the fuck was that? I mean, it's not even, another thing was even a women's suit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was so, so nuts. Suicide Watch, the amount of people who have been so damningly affected by Donna Adelson is staggering.
Here's a thought. These narcissists, and again, we're using that term and a lot of people use that term, mm-hmm. but I think you're right. It applies in this case.
Without a doubt.
These narcissists, they threaten to off themselves, unalive mm-hmm. themselves, whatever you'd like to say. But they never do, because they're cowards. They're never going to do it. Now, they had to put her on, you know, that kind of watch.
They do sometimes, but it's rare.
It's very rare, because most of them, this is just an idle threat. They're never going to go through with it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when my dad finally died and I got the call, I said, are you sure he's dead? Because the son of a bitch had threatened to off himself so many times. It was like, whatever.
It's become somebody crying wolf at some point. Yeah.
Chicken Little, the sky is falling every freaking day.
But here's the difference at this moment in time. Okay. It's not going to be this moment in time in a week. It wasn't this moment in time a week ago.
Right.
But what you just witnessed there is narcissistic collapse.
Yeah.
That was everything. Everything came to her the moment she, and I believe that was there an act going on there? Somewhat, but it was authentic, but it was to her.
Right. Right.
It was everything inside of her crumbling. All of those self talking things that she said, all those affirmations of you're in the right, you're in the right, you're doing this because of this, you're doing this because of that. And she believes it was all right. And then reality showed up and said, guess what, bitch, you're wrong. Look at what you've done.
Yeah.
You can't handle it. I mean, the brain as a human being cannot handle that kind of confrontation. And that's where it comes to collapse. Because she's told herself this myth of herself for the last 70 years.
Yeah.
It's not going to change like that because of a couple days in the courtroom. So she is collapsing mentally, internally. There probably is just haywire going on right now in her mind. So she really does need to be on suicide watch. I mean, as much as I do agree with Dan's father saying, I hope you live to be 120 so you can rot in there and enjoy in every day of this. I don't know, at the same point, I just kind of feel like once you've determined someone is not a viable human being anymore, and they're not worth the air that they breathe because they've chosen to take it from others with absolutely no thought, I don't care. Give her a bed sheet. Give her a rope tonight and see what happens.
Tony.
Let me throw this out there and just get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Let's say they actually put her on the stand. Let's say she testified. We don't know how that would go. We can imagine how that might go. Does that change this outcome? Did the fact that she didn't take the stand not give her a chance to get out of this one?
Would it have changed it, are you asking?
Is there a possibility that it could have changed it? If she was able to act well enough in front of that jury to make it look like she was who she was trying to portray herself, maybe the outcome would have been a little different.
Do you think for a second she could have done that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so, but I've not seen her in action. I've seen all the stuff she's done in action, but I've never seen her personally in action.
I think this is kind of the, is it possible? Sure. Is it remotely probable? Probably not. I mean, in theory, could Donna have decided to take an acting class or just completely change her persona like that? Narcissists are capable of doing that sort of shit. Could she? I think she would have attempted to put on a show. I think it all would have crumbled under Cross because Georgia would have ripped the shit out of her. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't have known what to do. She would have gotten extremely defensive. She would have ended up burying her husband and Wendy simultaneously in whatever she was going to throw out there, and Charlie even more. And then all for the sake of trying to protect herself, but at the same time incriminating herself even deeper because she doesn't see it. And why is that? Two words: cognitive distortion. And that's what she lives by. That's if you grasp that one, that's how you can understand how they're seeing everything. It's the broken prism. We all see things through our own prism. And look, all of our prisms are a little bit cracked from the life that we've all lived. There's something, we're seeing things a little bit different here and there. And you got to have grace with others and go, oh, okay, well, they're reacting this way, maybe differently from me because of this or that. And a lot of times you can go, oh, okay, it's not that much different, but I see it. But when you're so far gone, when you're literally brought up and your prism is crafted by someone who is distorting it, and I'm going to guess that's what happened with Donna, that the way she was crafted, the way she was raised was in such a way that we're going to see things this way. We're going to be okay with things that way. We can be heartless this way or that way, the same way that Wendy is, or the she's allegedly been by her boyfriend, who said she has no empathy. She's heartless. She does this, she does that, and it's all about herself. She's a little clone of Donna, is essentially what it sounds like. And given the rope to hang herself on, if she were to go out there in life, she could very easily reproduce the results of Donna Adelson. But I think she probably already did, in her own way, and hopefully she'll be locked up for that at some point. But that's the thing. It's the distortions. And Wendy is an example of someone who was raised by that. Donna, I'm very curious of her background, because I'm going to guess it probably started there too. And once your path is already set with this is hot and it's really cold and it's vice and all things are off, you're kind of fucked. Unless you finally get out there in life and go, wait a second, I think this compass I was given is off and I want to correct it. But if you're too comfortable with that compass and you don't want to do any sort of self-reflection, which is most human beings, you end up like Donna Adelson.
Yeah.
That's my soapbox.
It's a good one, though. I think it's pretty damn accurate.
Who knew you had it in you, Tony?
No, I did.
Fucking years of abuse with people that are narcissists and borderlines. You get good at it. You get good at identifying it. Yeah. I'm going to go do seminars on this shit someday.
Good. Yeah, Tony's on the road doing a TED Talk, so Todd, it'll just be me and you doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought of it. I have the Narcissistic Survivor Society podcast I've created. It's a lot of AI stuff I put in there initially, because I'm like, well, this would be kind of interesting to get thoughts out there and survivor stories and things like that. But I think I should actually put myself on the damn camera and talk about this more, because there's a lot of healing that it takes when you've been through this sort of shit. And it doesn't ever really end. It like once you're scarred by this, you're kind of scarred by it. And everyone who is touched by it, negatively, you kind of need reinforcement that you're not crazy. That's why it's called crazy making behavior. That's why this whole thing today seemed insane, the way Georgia had to lay it out this way and that way. And here's all the other caveats and here's some more crazy shit, everybody. Because it's so nuts. And when you're on the receiving end of it, it seems crazy. And you think you're crazy. Like, why am I thinking of things? Because they're constantly spitting shit out at you that doesn't make any sense. But it all makes sense to their means of having control over the situation.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is.
It's I mean, it's real life, you know? How many people in our chat room are going,
There's a lot of, I saw over here, Kara had a good one earlier, I thought. I'm trying to find what I saw. There was some good ones. Carried away by ego. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, I can't find them all at this second, but you guys have had a lot of interesting insights that I've agreed with as I've seen them kind of come through the chat here tonight. But do, you know, as you're watching this in a replay, give us your thoughts in the comment section. YouTube is typically one of the better places to do it. If you're not there and you're listening to us or wherever you're at, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, or, you know, it's on X, it's on Facebook. Give us your thoughts there too. But yeah, that's... I think Donna Adelson got what she deserved. And I have zero pity. I hope she enjoys life behind bars. I'm not going to be surprised if she doesn't make it very long. And not that she's going to get, you know, shivved or something in prison, but I think more like, I don't know that she's going to keep herself. I think she may unalive herself at some point.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility.
Or is she going to create a little... narcissistic family behind bars?
I was gonna say she might be up for that, and she might think she could pull it off.
She probably can.
You think so?
Look what she did with the one. The one jailhouse snitch. I forgot her name. The one who was wearing purple the other day.
Is that the grand piano?
Did you get a grand piano, $10,000? I mean, and Donna did come through on some of the initial promises, and then it was like, well, you know, I don't need you anymore, so I'm going to discard you, which is another whole part of the principle of narcissists. Discarding. And whoo, don't need you, you're gone. Seriously. If anybody's listening to this and going, this really resonates with me, this really feels like I have people in my life who might be like this, I suspect it. It's hard. It's insanely hard to wrap your mind around it if you've never really done it before.
Yeah.
But once you do, and it takes some time, it makes life make a hell of a lot more sense. And then there's so many, again, I said it the other day, many books I recommend. I Hate You, Don't Leave Me. That's kind of the Bible to borderlines and narcissists. And Ramani, Dr. Ramani, you watch YouTube, or I think you've probably seen her. She's spoken on several of these cases. I think she was in the more recent Karen Reed documentaries, actually. She has one out called It's – you just got it, didn't you? I did.
It's not you. Not you. Yeah.
It's not you. Very good.
I'm halfway through it. And anybody who has dealt with, especially like in a divorce situation, read the damn book.
Well, yes. And that's the thing, because so many times you do not realize you have been the victim of narcissistic abuse until you've already been the victim of narcissistic abuse. And I was shocked when I went down that road, not to keep going on here forever, but when I started going down that road myself, and I started hearing terms like you're a survivor and this or that, I'm like, what? Like, I'm a survivor? And then the more you understand it, the more you learn about this, and the more you see shit like this, and we're like, oh fuck, I really am. Because the evil doesn't know any end in some of these cases, and it's really, really spooky. And the sooner you can understand it and recognize it, the sooner you can protect yourself from ever having to endure it again. But also, importantly, if you have children, helping to protect them from falling into those same pitfalls, because they're appealing people. They're people that are charismatic, that on the outside, everybody loves at the country club. Oh, they're nice. Or it's not even a country club, whatever, wherever you're at the Shoney's, they're the most charismatic person.
Your references are just.
We need to get Tony out more often, dude.
They got the bear, and they're suggesting the tuna salad at the buffet. But you start talking, you're like, "Oh, my kids don't talk to me anymore. Why is that?"
We got somebody asking, "Are they going to go after Wendy next?" I think we all feel like they're going to.
Yeah,
I put a poll out on YouTube. I'm going to jump over to that real quick.
Right.
I put it out earlier this evening on our YouTube channel. If you're not there, just search it, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you can go to this. It's in our posts tab. The question. Oh, I'm sorry. I put this poll out on X. This was not on YouTube. Let me go over to the poll on X and see where we're at. And it's about Wendy specifically. It's right after my post that says "Burn, bitch, burn."
Tony doesn't hold back. Todd, you and I kind of
we got to level that out a little bit, Stacey. So what's the poll? What was the question?
You're never gonna level me out.
I know. Well, we've tried.
You've been trying to level me out for 20 some years. That worked out?
Two of us and one of him, and we still can't do it, Stacey.
How long?
I'm gonna start doing cow moves up the intros to this shit. How long until Wendy Adelson is charged with conspiracy to murder Dan Markell? The options are within a month, before Halloween, before Thanksgiving, and before Christmas. I didn't even put an option in there for like it's not going to happen.
For like tomorrow.
Yeah, within the month, 46.7% is where the poll is at. Before Halloween is sitting at 20, before Thanksgiving at 20. And before Christmas at 13.3% right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Wendy better be, I don't know, she better have some clothes ready to go next to the bed, because the FBI, when they raid and shit, they come calling pretty early. So if you don't want to be, you know, walking out of your house in your nightgown, I'd have some sweats or something close by, Wendy.
Or sleep in your clothes, baby, because when they come, They come.
They're going to come. And it ain't going to be good. Harvey, they're just going to give you to Jeff Dunham and say good luck. They're going to say Jeff's going to put a hand up your ass. Wait,
Jeff,
and you're going to be the new
live.
You're going to be the new puppet.
Yeah. Like Walter can just sit this one out. We'll do the live version.
All right.
Like, you're not going to believe it. We're going to do a human colonoscopy with Harvey Adelson today.
Oh my God. Well, you're so sick.
That's how it's going to go down. There you go. Donna Adelson is guilty on all charges, and she certainly can't handle it. Oh, shucks. Well, there you go. We've been covering this now for close to 12 hours today. thank you guys for watching. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. Of course, we do greatly appreciate all of your subscriptions. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. You don't miss any of our coverage. We're going to have some more insight on this tomorrow morning with the attorney, defense attorney, and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. He'll be talking with us as well. That'll be around 11 a.m. Central on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, on X, and on Facebook on our live stream. So here you go. Donna Adelson is guilty. Thanks for joining us for our live breaking coverage. For Todd and Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.